when we did this back 4 months ago or so, we did it in a fly-through kind of way without the paper, I think, without using a piece of paper. But you get a lot more out of it if you'll grab a piece of paper, a full-size sheet of paper, probably from your printer tray, from the supply of paper for your printer. But any full-size sheet of paper will work. And number from 1 to 30 or number from 1 to 32 down the left column, either whichever is easier. If you want to do what I would do, divide it in half. You know, draw a line across the middle and then half each of those. Draw a line across the top half and a line across the bottom half, halfway down. So you have it in four parts, then make it eight parts, then 16 parts, and then draw lines to make it 32 parts. You'll have room for all your numbers that way and have it evenly divided, but you know, you don't have to do it the way I would. That's a little meticulous, probably. But what you want to have is space to put notes for each chapter in Acts, and there are 28 chapters, but you need room after the end of the 28 for some notes at the bottom of that. So at least number 1 to 30. And then we're going to read this verse. Let me post it again here. We've got 1 Corinthians 1:24, and we're going to, hopefully this will help us visually see how things fit together in Acts and the transition that occurred. Okay, let me just check. Do I still have sound? And is it working using two sides here? I'm posting on one side and talking through the other. Okay, there we go. So the verse says, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." So the question is, who's being called there? When Paul wrote this letter, he wrote it, actually he wrote it in Acts 19. He wrote back to the Corinth believers that he had visited in Acts 18. So he wrote this in Acts 19. And he said, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." So who was being called there when he wrote that epistle? Who does it say was being called? "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks." Right, Jews and Greeks. So on line 19, which would stand for the 19th chapter of Acts, coming through that far to where we started, actually, in 1 Corinthians, you would write Jews and Greeks on line 19 there. And we're going to move on to the next one. This will be in that space at the bottom of the page after Acts 28. This was written after the end of Acts. It was written to the Ephesians, and Paul wrote them and said, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." So, the question is, by the time Paul wrote to the Ephesians, was he still preaching synagogue to synagogue among the Jews and the Greeks, or had he been sent to preach among the Gentiles? What does he say there in the verse? "That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God." Now, I'm not trying to be, you know, too little here. I just want to be real clear. And so after the end of Acts, it says that he would preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So there's some differences there, isn't there? What you want to write in after the end of Acts would be among the Gentiles. That's who he was going to. That's who the gospel was being preached to at that time. But notice he says, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given?" So he had been given this particular grace, this gospel that he teaches, preaches to others, to preach it among the Gentiles at this point, and it was about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Christ's riches given to believers today that is not searchable in the scriptures before Paul was saved. Unsearchable riches of Christ. So, I hope you've added at the bottom there underneath 28, somewhere under there, in that space below line number 28, among the Gentiles. Okay, thirdly, with a mind, you know, as with those facts in our mind, in our memory, did Paul write 1 Corinthians, the epistle that we read earlier, did he write that before the Ephesian epistle? Now, you know, I think I already answered that, but I want, you know, I want it to settle in your mind so that you understand the position of the two. 1 Corinthian epistle was written in Acts 19 before the end of Acts. Then after the end of Acts, the Ephesian epistle, the second verse, was written, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So there was a difference there. There was a change. So let's go on to number 4. I've got 16 points here we got to get through to get the picture. Observe these two verses together. And we'll start in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17. And it says, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." And let me take a second here before we go to the other verse to just add the next verse as a little bit of a clarifier. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. The gospel of Christ is named there. So let's go to Ephesians 3:2, and we're going to read these two verses. This is the other verse we're reading. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. So then, did Paul write that there had been a dispensation of the gospel before or after there came a dispensation of the grace of God? Before or after? He wrote of the dispensation of the gospel in 1 Corinthians, which we saw was written in Acts 19. Ephesians came after the end of Acts, and then he announces that if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. So the dispensation of the gospel came before the announcement of the dispensation of the grace of God, years before, in fact. Let's go to number 5. Just a second, need a sip here. Just water. And look more closely at the passages of verses that we just read. To what gospel did Paul say that he was referring when he mentioned the gospel, the dispensation of the gospel? That was in the second verse. Let's look at them again here. Welcome, CH. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. So, let's see, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. So he's talking about the gospel of Christ. That's the gospel that he's referring to there. look at a verse that was written a chapter later in Acts. Later on, after he wrote to these Corinthians, he wrote to all that be in Rome, and he said to them, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." There's the mention of the gospel of Christ again, that he was talking about, that he was... it was committed to him to dispense that gospel, the dispensation of the gospel. So he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." This is a definition. It is. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So it doesn't save those that don't believe, but those that do believe, it does save. And he tells us other places what to believe. But he goes on... it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So here we've got another another indication of who the gospel went to at that time. Does Paul tell that the gospel of Christ is to the Jew first and also to the Greek in the verse there? And hi, Willie, we're looking at Romans 1:16. If you could grab a piece of paper from your printer tray or somewhere, a full-size sheet of paper, a number from 1 to 30 or a number from 1 to 32 evenly down the left column, left side. And we've already found that 1 Corinthians was written, he said in 1 Corinthians 1:24, it's written to the Jew and the Greek, Jews and the Greeks. And after the end of Acts, down at the bottom of the page, would be Ephesians after the end of Acts, and he was sent to preach the gospel among the Gentiles, it says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. So those two we've gotten so far, and here we're going back and we're looking at Acts 20, in which Paul wrote Romans, where he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we're going to fill in on line 20 the words Jew first and also to the Greek. Very similar to what we had in chapter 19 of Acts. The numbers in the left there, going from 1 to 28 or 30, those stand for the chapters in Acts. And when we're done, we'll have a picture of who the gospel went to when. And hopefully we'll see the change in dispensation there too. Gospel means good news. And after the end of Acts, Paul wrote an epistle to Titus, in which he says, well, let me post this. This is Titus 2. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. What good news does Paul say that, you know, that was brought to all men, brought salvation to all men? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It's the grace of God that he's talking about. And it was good news or gospel, and it was to all men. It appeared to all men. So on your paper, in the space left after 28, number 28, down there, the extra spaces at the bottom that we needed for what happened after the end of Acts, write in the words, all men. The grace of God. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So that's four things we've got in so far. And let's look. This is number 8. We've got 16 to go through, so we're about halfway there, I think. Let's look earlier, before the end of Acts, to see if it confirms that the dispensation of the gospel... In that dispensation of the gospel, Paul is only reported to have preached the gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks before he preached the gospel of the grace of God to all men in the dispensation of the grace of God. Look in Acts 13, and we'll go to Acts. This visit that Paul made soon after being sent to do the work of preaching to the Jew first and also to the Greek in Acts 13, 1 to 4. But we see this in Acts 13, verse 16, and we'll be going through that whole sermon. Not reading the whole thing, but the sermon extends down to 46, and we're going to use some of those verses down there too, or at least 46. Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, he said, Men of Israel, and... So besides the men of Israel, he's speaking to ye that fear God. Give audience. Well, who would that be? Look in verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham. Well, that's men of Israel in verse 16. And, so some more that are not men of Israel. He says, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Not Israel's, but Paul's. The revelation that was made to Paul. This salvation is sent. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you." To you who? Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to men of Israel, and that's the children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God. So other than Israelites, there were Gentiles that feared God and came to that synagogue there in Antioch of Pisidia. And he's speaking to them, saying it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to them. But seeing you, or they, have put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, there's not a cutting off, is there? But they're including those Gentiles. What Gentiles? The ones that were there. Those Greeks. Those ones that whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. So, if we go on down a little bit further, look at Acts 14. That would be Jews and next to 13. I didn't have this marked, but next to 13 on your list there, you can mark. Let's see what would be the easiest to put: men of Israel and whosoever among you feareth God. Now, that doesn't mean among us. That was among them at that time, because there has been another change, as we'll see later, a change since that time. But so the gospel was being preached to men of Israel. This is what you put after line 13. Men of Israel, and whosoever among you feareth God. Now, chapter 14, we'll look at 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. So, according to what it said there, we would put after line 14, in line there with number 14, put the Jews and also the Greeks. A great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed in Acts 14. Okay, so Jews and Greeks, or the Jews and also the Greeks. Let's go to chapter 17 and look at verse 1, and then we'll look at verse 4. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, if somebody's getting lost here, raise your hand or put a note in text, and we'll review how to do this and what we're doing, so that you can see with your own eyes on your own paper in front of you that, you know, where the divisions are. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And verse 4, and some of them believed. This is, he gave them the facts about who Jesus is. As long as we're reading them, I shouldn't just skip them for the purpose of the study. Let me put in here what happened in between. Okay, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them 3 Sabbath days. And 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And what did he reason with them? What was his reasonings? Were his reasonings? Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, and risen again from the dead. So, talking about the resurrection, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. So that's basically the gospel of God that Paul defined in Romans 1:1. And then we get to verse 4 again, and here's our information. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, in other words, gathered together with them when they taught, and some, and of the Greek of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. So here you've got, in verse 1, it said it was a synagogue of the Jews. So you've got Jews and of the devout Greeks. Jews and devout Greeks, you can put after number 17 there on your list. Jews and devout Greeks. Let me just change this. There we go. I left out devout on my notes. All right, we're going to a number to chapter 18. They went to Corinth, found the synagogue, and in verse 4 it says, and he reasoned, and we found out what the reasoning was. It was telling them that Jesus is the risen Christ. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. So it went on for a while, apparently, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So that's pretty plain there at the end. Who did he minister to, the gospel? That gospel that he preached to them was to the Jews and the Greeks. So after line 18, you would add Jews and Greeks, or the Jews and the Greeks, whichever. let's go to chapter 19, where we started. More clarification, more confirmation. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. And he puts a qualifier on there, who he's talking about when he says all they, both Jews and Greeks. So, you know, not every dog, not every cat, not every... He's limiting it to the Jews and the Greeks. And it said that he went to the synagogue. In verse 1 it says, let me just put that up there briefly. well, it doesn't say it there. Oh, I'm in the wrong spot. That was when he went to Corinth. This is, let me think now. Where was that? Acts 19. Let me just look through here. He came to Ephesus. Okay, that's the first time he went to Ephesus. Yeah, okay. And found some disciples, preached to them. They were disciples of John, but they hadn't heard that Jesus came, died for their, well, died at all, was crucified, and that he rose from the dead, and that he was the Messiah they were waiting for. So Paul came and preached the gospel of God to them to identify Jesus. And there were some 12 at numbers, actually, a number of Israel, that believed. But he says he preached it to the Jews and the Greeks that heard the word of the Lord Jesus. Word about who the Lord Jesus is. The name of Jesus means the same thing. His identity. All right, so after number 19 on your list, all the Jews and Greeks. You could write in all the Jews and Greeks. We're going to go on to Acts 20, and we did do 20 before Roman. Actually, before we get to 20, there's one more reference that confirms chapter 19, number 19 on your page. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. The name of Jesus. Still, you know, could be taught to a mixed group of those who were in Judaism at the time, but not believe, either not having heard that Jesus came or not believing that he was the Messiah. They were fair game for Paul. Those that had believed in the Messiah and were still Jews, were in like the scattered groups that Peter, James, and John had the little flock church there in Jerusalem. And they were not fair game for Paul, because Paul had agreed to go to the uncircumcision, to the heathen, and leave the circumcision, the maintenance ministry, to Peter and James and John. All right, so now we'll get to 20. Let me put that up there. Verse 21 in chapter 20. And this is a summary verse. It tells what he's done up to this time. It's actually after he received his sending to preach to all people. But he's summarizing what happened before he got that sending, putting a cap on it, so to speak. testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. In other words, don't go keep following the other false gods, the gods of the nations around you. Repent for doing that. In other words, change your mind about it. And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. After they had believed that Jesus was the Messiah, he preached to them the gospel of salvation, that Christ had died for their sins, and by believing that your sins are died for, that their sins were died for, they would be saved. Just the same gospel that we have today, but it was still going to the Jews and the Greeks only. Not that it was limited to them, that they could were the only ones that could be saved by it, but those are the ones that Paul was sent to, and those are the ones that Paul writes information about in his letters written during that time. In Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, in Galatians, and 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Those are the early letters. And you find in them special instructions to those Greeks, actually, the Jews and Greeks in the synagogues, how to influence or accommodate, how to win, actually, to get some of those Jews saved that were in the synagogue that hadn't heard of or didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, how to win them into the body of Christ, because Israel was being cast off in a few years, was being blinded, which, Alex spoke about in the lesson before, and you can read it in the last half chapter of Acts, starting in about verse 17, their total casting away. Not partial blinding like in Acts 20 when he wrote Romans 11, verse 25. But at the end of Acts, it's total blinding, and so you've got, they're not away to God after they fell, and so God introduced Jesus Christ to Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul submitted and was saved, submitted to the terms of the gospel, which he later says he believed, and probably didn't know what was going on, but maybe he did. The Lord opened the eyes of several people before he was crucified, and some after he was crucified. Those Cleopas and the other one that were walking to Emmaus, the town of Emmaus, and he opened their understanding, and then he vanished as they broke bread. Anyway, he has had the ability to open their understanding, and so here what we're doing is a list here, aren't we? Let's get back to the list. After number 20, standing for Acts 20, and it says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. Who is Jesus? He's the risen Messiah. And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I have faith that you're dying for my sins, paid for my guilt, and has saved me. That's the faith. So after number 20, you would write in, to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Very similar to the ones in 19 there, and in 14, 13, 17, all those that we've gone through so far. Let's go to number 9 here on our list of 16. Look at the verses in Paul's epistles written before Acts 21, and we'll see that they confirm that Paul preached the gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks before the time that when he was sent with that same saving message, the grace of God, before he was sent to all men with that gospel, in the gospel of the grace of God, during the current dispensation of the grace of God. In the Bible, Paul's first epistle to Corinth was most probably written in Acts 19, and we read verse 23. Let's take a look at verses 22, 23, and 24 here. Welcome, Andrew, and we're going through marking on a sheet of paper. We've got a blank sheet of paper and numbered 1 to 30 or 32 on the left, and we're going through the chapters of Acts and seeing who the gospel was sent to at that time, at each time. So we're about half done, a little more than half done, and you can pick up here, and I'll probably, I haven't done this yet, but I can post on the website in the banner there, I can post a completed list. I haven't done the list yet, so I haven't got it to post, but soon we'll try and get that done. But anyway, going through these three verses, and we'll see who it went to at that time, who the gospel went to at that time. Let me get this posted here. There we go. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. So when there are sign gifts, who are they for? The Jews require a sign. They were given to the Jews because they were wired to require a sign to believe God. And that's what all the signs were about, you know, Moses putting down his rod and it becoming a viper, and he picks it up then and it turns back into a rod. All those signs were so that Israel would believe. But we preach Christ crucified. So the Jews need a sign, the Greeks need wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Under the Jews, a stumbling block. Under the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Pardon me. So even though it's foolishness to those seeking wisdom, and it's not a sign to those seeking a sign, it is the power of God, and it's the wisdom of God. Just a second. So on your paper, next to 19, number 19, the chapter in which 1 Corinthians was written, you can write the words, unto the Jews and the Greeks, which are called. Which are called. So it further defines what those Greeks are. There were Greeks that thought it was foolishness, but there were Greeks that believed, too. And that's the ones it's talking about. The ones that Christ foreknew, Romans 8:29, the ones that Christ foreknew would believe, Christ called. And the gospel was there for anybody in spoken form then and written form now. But Christ calls particularly those that he knows are going to believe. And again, go to Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And next to 20, if you don't have it down, it would be to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You could write in those words, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And leave a little room there, because there's another one in Romans written in Acts 20. For there is no difference, this is Romans 10:12, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. At that time, they were in the same category. The Jew and the Jew blesser, the Gentile that blessed Israel, the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is rich unto all them that call unto him. I missed something there. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Didn't mean to leave that out. So on your paper next to number 20, you've got something already, but here we see a confirmation. It says the Jew and the Greek. All right, let's talk about that space at the bottom of the paper. Go down to after number 28 on your page, and we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 22, 23, and 24. That's not what I've got here. I missed something. Hold on. I got these mixed up here. Let's see. There's an exception in the epistles that came after the end of Acts, and it confirms that Paul's saving message went to all people after Acts 28. But before Acts 28, In Galatians 3:28, Paul omitted the barbarian and the Scythian when he's going through this list. After the end of Acts, I don't know which one. Let's go before the end of Acts. We're going kind of chronologically here a couple times through, but let's see what happened before the end of Acts, what Paul says. He says, "Neither there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Now let's look at after the end of Acts, Paul's list, similar list here. He says, "Where there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian." Now those aren't Jews and they're not Greeks that blessed Israel. Those are what Ephesians 2:12 calls alien Gentiles, barbarians and Scythians. And he continues, "Bond and free, bond nor free, Christ is all in all." So after the end of Acts, he includes these alien Gentiles, the ones like us that never blessed Israel before Israel fell as a nation, and would not even care about coming to God through Israel. Israel is gone anyway now, but that's what it was back then. It would be the Greeks wanted to come to God, and so they came the only way they knew to. I will bless them that bless thee, Genesis 12:3. So they blessed Israel. So that shows us a change there at the end of Acts when Israel is cast away, doesn't it? And after the time, now there's not much visiting of synagogues and stuff after Acts 20. There's a little bit. But after Acts 20, verse 6, when Paul was sent to all people, well, let's do it this way. At what point in the book of Acts first did Paul first report having received the ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God? When did he receive that and first tell us? And we find that, I'll answer my own question here, Acts 20, verse 24, since Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And that's the first time in the Bible that's mentioned. The gospel of the grace of God is not mentioned before Acts 20. So, people that say it started in Acts 9 have some verse showing to do. I don't find it anywhere. But anyway, Acts 20, verse 24, was after all of Paul's Acts period epistles, those six that we mentioned before, after they'd been written. But it's before Paul started writing his post-Acts prison epistles. It comes in that in-between time there. So on your paper, after the notes for number 20, draw a slash, a diagonal line, and then before number 21, write the words, "the gospel of the grace of God." It started there in Acts 20. Actually, in Acts 20, verse 6. But we're not going to define that today. But it started in Acts 20. So look again at the verse, about the gospel of Christ, not the gospel of the grace of God. Now, remember, it's the same saving message about Christ died for your sins, believe on him to life everlasting. But it's to a different audience, a much, much wider audience, the entire world, not just those Jews and the Greeks in the synagogues. So it was a huge expansion. Did I forget to unmute? I wonder how far I... Has it been quiet for a while? Has it been quiet for a while, or were you hearing the lesson I was giving in the verses and stuff? Is anybody in here? Hello? Hi, Ken. Ellen? Gordon? Fired? You did hear. Okay, because it looked like my mute button was off. Okay. You heard about the when the gospel of the grace of God went to all people and that Acts 20 was a pivotal chapter. All right, well, we're going to continue on now. Number 13 out of 16, look again at Well, I've got Romans 1:16 posted there. This will be number 12. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And we had mentioned that in Acts 20 was the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God. And here, just three verses before that beginning in verse 6, Paul writes to the Rome, to all that be at Rome, he says in verse 70, and he wrote that in verse 3 of Acts 20. So it was before he was sent, before he received that sending. And he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That was still in effect at that time for three more verses. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And now, what does Paul call the gospel that he was commissioned to preach to the Jews and the Greeks? It was the gospel of Christ. Different audience. So it's a different name, but it's the same saving gospel as the gospel of the grace of God in the dispensation of the grace of God. So coming down again, confirm again from the other side, look at 1 Corinthians 17, try to find 17 chapters in 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 17 and 18. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. So this was written in Acts 19, before he received his sending to all men, before the gospel, the same saving message, had a different gospel name, of the gospel of the grace of God. So with that in mind, and with the paper that we're doing here in mind, what is the gospel that Paul says he preached during the dispensation of the gospel? Verse 18 shows it there, the gospel of Christ. Also, what is the dispensation under which Paul was preaching the gospel of Christ to the Jews and to the Greeks? It's identified in the verse before, in verse 17, as the dispensation of the gospel. A dispensation of the gospel. So, number 14 we're up to. What is the change from the dispensation of the gospel to the Jews and the Greeks, to the dispensation of the grace of God to all men? Well, where is that change? Where does that occur? Let's look for what Paul said after it happened. Looking back, he writes to the Philippians and said in Philippians 4:15 and 16, "Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity." Now, it doesn't say it was the same trip that they sent both times. It could have been two different trips there. But, and it was, I think, I don't remember the exact miles between, but they were both over there in Philippi and Thessalonica were both over there Macedonia. Across the creek across the sea. I forget whether that's the name of it, Caspian or Adriatic, but from where Ephesus was in those cities. So he says that it was a beginning of a gospel. Well, what gospel was that? Was it the beginning of the gospel of the kingdom that John the Baptist started preaching in Matthew? No, it couldn't have been. We know that that gospel began long before the time when Paul departed from Macedonia. Well, would it have been the gospel of Christ? Well, when did Paul depart from Macedonia? If we look a little further, look in Acts 20, verse 6 that we've been talking about. "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And there's another confirmation if you look at what happened in Troas too, but we're not going to get into that right now. But you can see, well, maybe you can't. Phil, let me put a little definition there, a little understanding. Philippi, it says in another place, is a chief city in Macedonia, in that part of Macedonia. So they sailed away from Philippi, they sailed away from Macedonia. And it says that that was the beginning of the gospel in Philippians 4:15. So we find out that the gospel had a beginning then. What one had a beginning? It would have been after the gospel of Christ. It's this gospel of the grace of God that was to all men, starting in Acts 20. And after that, you see, just a few verses after 6, he went to Troas, and he preached all night. It's the only time that it tells that Paul preached all night. He was so pent up. He had a lot to tell them. This gospel I've been preaching, this saving message is now going to all people, not just to us closed in these synagogues, not just to Jews, and not just to the few Greeks that blessed Israel and came along with them. It's to everybody. It's to those people throwing rocks at us across the fence over there. It's those that hate the Sabbath and love catfish and pork. So there was a major change that went on there in Acts 20. And that's the time when they didn't have electricity. They had candles to light the room where he was speaking. And there were people up in a loft, a third floor level loft, listening and trying to get enough air by the window. And one of them fell asleep, tumbled out, landed on the ground three floors down. And they took him up dead, it says in the scripture. Paul gave him his life back. But he exercised the signs of an apostle, was able to bring him back to life. So those verses that we read, they pretty narrowly define the beginning of the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God to all men in the dispensation of the grace of God, to be at that time in Acts 20, verse 6, when they sailed away from Macedonia. Now, they did sail away one other time in the New Testament, in Acts. There it says they sailed away, and I think that was in 17, chapter 17. But Paul, if you look at verse, it's the last verse up there. No, it's not either. Let me put it up again. Philippians 4:16. Pardon me. In Thessalonica, ye sent once again unto my necessity. So that has to do with, at one time he had a necessity, at the other time he didn't. And the time that counts was when Paul left Macedonia in Acts 20, verse 6. Left Philippi, Macedonia. Susan, welcome. Good to see you again. I always remember that you are the first person that introduced us to Katie Black's songs, and we've enjoyed them ever since. So, well, thanks for coming in today. We're going through Acts, and we've taken a plain sheet of paper, full-size sheet of paper, numbered down the left column 1 to about 30 or 32, and we're going through Acts and placing what was in each chapter. If the gospel was going to the Jews and the Greeks, or when did it start going to all men? That's what we're looking at, the differences here. And we're about three quarters done. So welcome. We've narrowed it down that at Acts 20 verse 6 was when the gospel started being preached to all men. And Paul's trip to Troas and preaching all night the good news and healing that Eutychus that fell out of the window, that all confirms it. So let's go to number 16, the last one, 16 out of 16. Ephesians chapter 1, verse, and I don't think I've got those on my verse list, so let me just pull them up here. Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13. give us some insight about those two different messages. Well, it's the same message as what it tells us. The two different gospels, though, the name gospel includes who it's spoken to and when, things like that. And it also includes the message. The message stayed the same, though. It's the audience that changed from when Paul stopped preaching the gospel of Christ and started preaching the gospel of the grace of God. And that's what Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13 show us. It was the same message for those who trusted in Christ. Same message for those here that we see who first trusted in Christ. In the Acts 9 through Acts 20, verse 5 period, as it was for those after Acts 28 who also trusted, let me get that verse up there, let me start in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So they're in the same category. They believed before, and these people believed after. There's no change in what they believed, though. In verse 13, they were believing it after the end of Acts. That's when Ephesians was written. The saving message was the same. The change in the gospel was not a change in that saving message by which Paul and the Acts period Pauline believers and the post-Acts period believers and you and me are saved. The change in the gospel was that same saving message started to be preached to all men and in a huge expansion. It was an expansion of the spread of the gospel of salvation to the whole world now instead of just to the synagogues of Jews and those few believing Gentiles called Greeks that blessed Israel and came in before Paul's preaching of it, of the new gospel. So what difference does that make when the gospel began to be preached to all people like us and not just to Jews and Jew-blessing Greeks? What difference does it make? Well, it means that people can hear it, and they, once they hear it, they can believe it, and when they believe it, they're saved. So it makes a big difference. Time for questions. I'm done with this, and I hope you've got a sheet of paper that shows where those changes occurred.